only whip I'm married. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show on a Saturday night, one of the best Saturday nights on the planet. You can't beat this one. Tonight we're going to have some great guests. We're going to have Lisa Loray and I think it's Rick Krasadobia from RoadRageMotorcycles.com. Welcome my audience in Florida, voice of Tampa Bay, 1340 AM down there. And later on tonight, after this show, I'm going to go on to another show where Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz hang out. It's called GCLive.com, and we're going to do a show on DNA and how the hereditary changes go from father to son to daughter, etc. So without further ado, I think we've got Rick on the phone. Is that you, Rick?
Yeah, we're both here.
Yeah, both Rick and Lisa.
We got Lisa there, too.
We introduced
her first. I just heard your voice, so tell us about you guys. This is Rick and Lisa.
Well, we, of course, like you said before, our company is called Road Rage Motorcycles, and we are an apparel company. We also have a women's line called Raging Angel Clothing. The Raging Angel Clothing certainly has a message behind it, which we feel very important about. But we're just, two people that decided that we got tired of working for others, and we had a dream, and we decided to act on that dream.
So what did you guys do before you started this?
Well, I was in the Silicon Valley world.
Okay. What kind of stuff did you do over there?
Selling big pieces of test equipment to the semiconductor industry.
That's wild, because when I was back at NASA, after I left NASA, I was in the test equipment business for a long, long, long time. I had a test equipment company that not only bought and sold it, we also made a few things.
So you have some, so you're familiar with the kind of equipment that I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, words like Hewlett-Packard equipment and Tektronix and all those.
Oh!
Yeah, I had all that stuff. I used to rebuild Tektronix scopes. I even knew Howard Ballum, the guy that started the company up there in Oregon, in Beaverton.
Yeah.
I knew him. We also, I had a lot of fun, though. I went to 3,000 companies on all kinds of classified projects for about 7 years.
Wow.
After I left NASA. That was fun. That was a fun world. You're like I am. You get burnt out on it after a while.
Oh, let me tell you.
25 years he was doing that.
How long?
25 years.
Yeah, well, I spent that business about that long, too. That's a big burnout. I had to deal with the government a lot, probably. Did you have to do much government stuff when you were dealing it or not?
In the companies that I worked in, they certainly had their government groups, right?
Right.
The specific groups that would deal with DOD.
Right, exactly. Department of Defense, yeah.
Right, Department of Defense. And I was not involved in that. I was involved in the commercial end.
Okay.
But you're right about the burnout factor. There's only so much that you can take over a certain number of years. And then finally you get so tired of the ups and downs of the industry that I felt that when I met Lisa, it was kismet. So everything felt right with her.
Right.
Things just started falling into place. I actually, I'm kind of a dreamer. And, you know, he went to work every day with such a great attitude, and he'd been doing it for such a long time, but it didn't change the way he felt about going to work in the morning. And I really admired that. And I think one day I just said, you know, what's your dream? Well, you know, what is it that you want to do? And he has a passion for motorcycles, and it was something that just was born out of, you know, something that he loved to do mostly on the weekends, because that's really all he had time for. But that's kind of how it started. We just decided to, you know, what are we doing working 9 to 5 or 8 to 10 or whatever it is every day? Why don't we do something that we really love?
Yeah, that's really good. Now, tell me about, not trying to leave you out, do both of you guys ride motorcycles?
Well, he drives, I ride on the back.
I leave
driving to him.
I collect motorcycles. I got quite a collection down here.
Yeah, that's what we understand.
And I got one motorcycle. It's a CE71 Honda that I had when I was 18 years old. It was serial number 2, and they only made 300 of them. It's a dry sump Honda. It was out of my possession for 44 years, and I used some of my Pyridyne Magic and got it back.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Here now I'm restoring it. And I crashed in a race down in Mississippi. I flipped it upside down and messed up the handlebars. And when I got it back, it only had a few thousand more miles on it after all these years, and nobody bothered to fix the damage. I'm still stuck with fixing what I screwed up years ago. Isn't that funny?
Now, is that picture on your website?
Yeah. Now, I got that same bike. I don't look the same. The bike looks the same. The bike didn't age. I did.
But isn't that how it always works out?
Yeah, I don't like that, though, you know?
It's a lot easier to restore the bike than it is to restore ourselves.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Whenever I used to fall down on a bike, I used to jump on the top when I was skidding out and let the bike skid to a stop to eliminate the road rash.
Yeah, I rode, when I first started riding, I was actually 19 years old.
Yeah, that's a good time to start.
And my first bike was actually a Triumph 650.
Right, which one? Let's do how. What year was that?
It was a 1969.
Okay, got it.
So I thought I was just on top of the world. I was super cool now. I had my bike. I had a friend who also had a motorcycle. And then, being the good Sicilian boy that I am, Mom came to me and bribed me to get rid of the motorcycle because she would worry too much.
Yeah.
So I allowed her to bribe me and bought a car instead.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, but always kept the passion. Going back maybe about 10 years now, it really went into full swing. And I was lucky enough to have a bunch of friends that had motorcycles, and we all got together, and we would ride together, and we still ride to this day. It's really... once
you have a motorcycle now?
Sorry?
Yeah, what kind of bike have you got now?
The motorcycle I have now, not to sound too cliche, but it is a Harley Davidson.
Right, I have a Harley. Which one you got?
Wonderful bike.
Oh, I love them. I've had those all my life, too. But they weren't as weird as that Honda that I had. You know, I've got a soft tail now. It's all customized. It's a 95.
Yeah, I have a 2000 Heritage Classic.
Yeah, that's a beautiful bike.
Oh, just a wonderful bike. And it has custom Harley Davidson paint on it.
Right.
Lots of chrome. And we just love to ride whenever we have the opportunity. The problem is with the business, with as much as we work, we just don't have all the time that we used to have to get on that bike.
Now we have a common problem here, okay? I have a bunch of bikes. I've got, I don't know, 4 Triumphs. I've got a 110. I've got a Thunderbird, a couple of Bonnievilles over the years. And I just bought a BSA Super Rocket a while back. you know, in that English line, and I've got a bunch of, I got like a Norton Manx and some other stuff, but all these bikes I've got, in the last 6 or 8 months or a year, I've probably ridden around one of the Triumphs in 64 around the block 3 times.
Wow, oh my gosh.
Does that suck or not?
That's
how it is. I mean,
I mean, I want you guys to figure out how we can ride our motorcycles at least one day a week.
Well, that's the question, right? I mean, that's the $64,000 question.
Yeah. I never thought, because when I was growing up, I had just one bike after another, but I couldn't have more than one at a time, and they were always kind of run down. Finally, where I could collect a few of them, I never realized I'd ever get to ride them.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you're, especially an individual like you, who's so imaginative and creative, that you probably are going all the time.
Yeah, I am. Now, we went to Hawaii about a month ago, my girlfriend and I, Mikkel, and we were only there for a week. That's all we had the time for. And for the first 3 days, we sat in this beautiful resort and slept.
So
finally, on the fourth day, we got up and did something. That's how burnt out we were from the work. But we love what we do. You know, you probably love what you do.
Oh.
We do. You know, and it's funny. We don't think twice about, you know, we work 7 days a week.
Yeah, we do too, pretty much.
We love it. We just love what we're doing, and that makes all the difference in the world, you know?
Yeah. So what did you used to do, Lisa, before you? Were you a test equipment girl, or what did you do in the past?
Mostly I was in customer service and sales.
Okay.
I did promotional marketing, which really gave me a nice foothold for the business that we have now with apparel. And I also managed a retail store, apparel store.
Oh, cool. So that's sort of where the apparel idea came from.
Yeah. I mean, it really, you know, the way we started it was going to start with motorcycle gear and helmets and boots, and we've really since then narrowed it down to just our own brand name, you know, tops and hats and things like that. But we're really not doing gear as much as we are apparel, just plain apparel. And we love it. We absolutely love it. We have our own brands. The men's brand is Road Rage, and the women's, as you said, was Raging Angel. And we get to develop the brand. We get to pick out the clothes that we use, you know, put our designs on. It's all very unique. It's fun. We get to go to shows and meet interesting people.
Isn't it fun to go to those kinds of shows where you go? You probably go to the apparel kind of shows, or do you go to like the Harley Davidson accessory shows? What kind of shows do you go to?
Well, like for instance, I'm sure you're well aware of Laughlin, the Laughlin River Run.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hollister. We just got done with the Hollister show, which happens to be just a half hour from our home, so that was really convenient. We did a show last week at the Queen Mary, as a matter of fact, at the LA Calendar Show, and that was really fun.
I wish you just called me up. I'd have come down there. We love the Queen Mary.
Oh,
it was a little girl ghost down there in the bottom of the boat, you know.
Oh, well, we love ghost stories.
Yeah, well, we got those. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh no problem. And next week we're going to be at the San Jose Grand Prix.
Now that's going to be so you mix a little racing with it.
Yeah, that's actually the only show that we do all year that isn't motorcycle related. You know,
yeah.
The other shows are either just Harley shows or a combination of all types of bikes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, when I started Paradyne, you know, after being this great rocket scientist and having this great big electronics company, I started up from nothing. I remember one time I was 5 house payments behind. And I have bought this house that I'm in now in Laguna in 75. And for the first 10 years, I didn't live here. I came in once or twice a month for a few days and was back out on the road doing shows, building a brand, Paradyne, teaching people about pyramid energy and the stuff that we were into. It's really cool. So how long has your company been around anyway?
Well, we formed this company back in November 2004. Did it really part-time for the first 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Developing designs, developing the concept, trying to understand our market more. And then about mid-2005, we decided to take this into full swing and go full-time with it.
Jump in.
That's cool. So are you making a living at it now?
Yeah, finally. I mean, you know, like anything that's worthwhile, it takes time and a lot of hard work.
Yeah. And I want my, by the way, my listeners are out there. We have what's called a live or a quick chat, fast chat, and people want to call in or they go on there. And I've got one of my regular listeners, Dominic, says, this is the first time I've listened to the radio dedicated to motorbikes. And, you know, I like to share my passions with my audience because normally my shows are so intense, so it's really fun to do this show because, you know, one thing that I think a message you're getting at, you started this thing, what sounds like 3 years ago, and you're carving a living out of it now. That's commendable. A lot of people come to me and they say, you know, well, I don't make enough money, and I got to work two jobs. You know what? Find your passion. You know what I mean? And starve a little bit, and after a little bit of time, you'll find your audience. That's what I've always said. You know, it's a little bit.
They say, find your passion, and the money will follow.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like. I used to tell people on my show, one of my radio shows I had over at K-Fox Radio years ago, everybody's driving the freeways in the morning. So people drive the freeways maybe an hour each way to work. After 25 or 30 years, they retire, and they go out back in their backyards, burn out, and they start raising flowers. And that's what they wanted to do all along. Why didn't you start a flower shop? You know
right.
What I mean? And you've been doing it all your life.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and that's what people need to do.
It takes guts, though. I got to say that it's really a leap of faith. You know, when you quit your job and you dive into this full time, it's a little scary. And I'd be lying to say that it's just the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not. It takes a lot of hard work. You know, the benefit to us is we work and play together. You know, we're together all the time. And if we didn't have such a great relationship, we wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, we have our little arguments now and then, but we really love working together. I mean, it's something that you have to be able to do and to get along and to be able to work out all the different intricacies of the business. We wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't really like each other on top of being in love. So that,
no, I think that's really commendable, you know. And Mikkel, my girlfriend, works in our company. She's been working with us for 3 years now. That's how long we've been together. The company's been around a lot longer, 32, 33 years. But she took over because she wanted to, and she does a heck of a job. I just stay out of the way. You know, I get the manufacturing done, and she does the marketing and the sales, and it works out great.
Well, that's kind of what I've learned.
Yeah, well, get out of the way. Well, whoever, you know, I have employees, too, and, you know, if you get an employee in there, and they want to do something, and they're going to do it, and you delegate a responsibility, just get out of the way and let them do it. I do that, full responsibility. And maybe they'll stumble a little bit, and you support them, and if they're really really adaptable to what you want done, they'll enjoy it, and everybody prospers, you know?
Well, we've just, you know, speaking of that, I mean, we've just started taking on additional help because in trying to develop this company, Lisa and I did all the work, every single aspect you can imagine of building.
Oh, I know everything from purchasing to shipping to finding out.
Everything.
Janitor.
Just think about
I've done it too.
Take
janitor
to
work, you know, sweep the place up at the end of the day.
All of it. And we just recently started adding a couple people to the payroll. And the thing that, at least for me, that I'm trying to get used to is doing what you say, is delegating that responsibility off to somebody else.
Yeah, and that's a difficult one. I've had, you know, down here, the job market here in this town, we're living in a resort town, so we got the trust funders, we got the alcoholics, we got the drug addicts.
Yeah.
Hard to find good people here, and they don't just come in. You know, a drug addict can mask it pretty well.
Sure.
And so when you give them responsibility and they're not qualified, it comes around and bites you in the butt. It has me on a few occasions, you know.
Oh, sure.
But eventually you see through these people and you work your way up into the right strata of good, reliable people, and then it starts to fly. And it's always a family anyway. It's got to be like a family.
Well, you know, the hard part, too, is having employees that will care almost as much about the business as you do.
Exactly.
And that's really hard to do. And in order to do that, you really have to, number one, you have to find good people. And that's an art in and of itself.
Yeah.
But you also have to treat them right. You know, employees
exactly.
That are treated well and respected and given, you know, responsibility and chances to learn and earn, they're going to work better for you, and they're going to love what they're doing.
Yeah, so. And it's true. And then people don't never start a business, you know, you take on the family karma. When these people get sick or they're having personal problems, it comes back to you sooner or later.
Of course.
But the fun part of it is when they do well and you get to give them a raise. That's what I like.
Yeah, it is fun. And it's nice to see them grow, too, to see them learn things, to see them take on more responsibilities on their own. It's just a very rewarding thing to have. You know, we have a couple kids that we hire to help us with inventory and the, you know, the physical aspects of the job. And, you know, it's really great to be able to take them under our wing. Rick is really good about that. You know, he'll take the boys under his wing and really show them around and kind of be a surrogate uncle to them, you know. And it's like a family business, really.
That's really good. So tell us some about your products a little bit. What all kinds of things do you have? First of all, I've got your website up on the front on the index page. It's roadrage.com, correct?
Roadragemotorcycles.com.
Yeah, sorry, roadragemotorcycles.com.
And motorcycles is plural.
Yeah, okay, plural motorcycles. So we have a lot of angels that listen to this network, by the way.
So tell
us what you got for the angels to wear.
Well, our tagline for the Raging Angel line is hell-bent, heaven-sent. And essentially the definition of a raging angel is a woman hell-bent on making a difference and heaven-sent to do just that. You know, one of the things that is a requirement for me in this business is, you know, not just to be following our passion and to be able to do what we love, but to be able to make a difference with what we're doing also. And it's important to us to somehow give back, to contribute in some way, you know, to do something that's going to make a difference somewhere. And we, you know, both Rick's mom passed away from Alzheimer's and my mom passed away from cancer.
Wow.
Those are two charities that we take an interest in. And, you know, whenever we can, you know, sometimes at our trade shows we'll donate a dollar per shirt, you know, for a certain charity. We also try to get involved as often as we can. There are oftentimes women's motorcycle rides for breast cancer and things like that we try to get involved in. And right now we're trying to get involved with children's cancer.
I worked with the City of Hope. That's up in Duarte. They're a children's cancer outfit. And I do the same thing. I donate to a lot of this stuff. But I also try to make myself, I try to actually go on site and do this is one I haven't been able to do lately, is go on site and actually help out for a day. You know what I mean? I used to do that more, and that's even unfortunately slowed down a bit, but I hopefully get free of doing that, you know, again. I used to volunteer my services of two days a month for a group called High Hopes, and it's a group where Pat Boone's grandson, for example, who was a musician, got in a almost fatal car wreck and had brain impairment. So I started a music class, or I didn't start it, but I conducted a music class for these brain-impaired kids that had gotten in these different car wrecks and motorcycle and bicycle wrecks and all kinds of weird stuff. But I haven't had time to do that. The volunteer stuff, when I do that, and I'm sure when you start doing it, you get really high. It's like taking a vacation for a day to go help people in those situations. That's what I found anyway.
It's so rewarding, and it's a lot different than just donating a check. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I do the check and the show up at the doorstep routine, and not enough of the doorstep routine. I admit that. And when I'm over there, I just feel white light around these people. It's really amazing.
It's true, and
totally
being around
cool.
People,
yeah.
They're so innocent, and you know, whenever you can do anything to help them out, it's such a rewarding feeling to know that you've made a difference to a child's life.
Yeah, that's really great. So anyway, what gave you the idea for the Raging Angels? I really like that. I could do a song about that. You know, do you guys do any music yet?
Well, we started with the men's line, which is Road Rage.
Yeah.
And we decided we wanted to do a spin-off, you know, something kind of spinning off the words Road Rage. And we just came up one day with the words Raging Angel, which we really liked, the yin and yang of that, you know, the power empowering women and just the whole concept behind it. And then Hellbent Heaven Sent was born of that. You know, we kind of just tossed different things around, and it made sense.
Let's give credit where credit is due here. She came up with the Hellbent Heaven Sent.
I love your, you guys are amazing with your trademarks, your marks, I would call those. Those are amazing little, help your copywriting. Oh, sure you are, all those things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We, you know, our company name, Road Rage Motorcycle, is a registered trademark, as is Raging Angel is a registered trademark. Our designs are exclusive to us. They are copywritten. And you know, I guess what is that saying about copying is the greatest form of
the greatest compliment?
So we've had people who have copied our artwork and name,
right?
Of course, you know that you have to take care of that. You have to nip that in the bud right away.
Yeah.
But it's we feel that we've really found a good combination here. We are at various Harley Davidson dealers throughout California.
So that's a smart place to go. Get your brand in there. That makes a lot of good sense.
Well, it does, and you know, kind of the thinking behind it is that you know we feel very proud and of our product. The quality is we feel is a high standard of quality, and so we want to make sure that the companies that we're dealing with maintain those same levels of quality. And Harley-Davidson, a lot of people have a lot of opinions when it comes to Harley-Davidson. But if there's anything that I think everybody will agree with is that in the motorcycle industry, Harley-Davidson is the standard.
Yeah, I agree.
So in order to align ourselves with the Harley-Davidson dealers that we have, and we certainly are trying to go national with other Harley dealers. In Florida, for instance, we've just added on, soon to add on a new Harley-Davidson dealer in Florida.
Happened in Arizona, too.
In Arizona. You know, by maintaining that quality, the Harley dealers look at this and go, yeah, I mean, that fits right in with what we do. So we've had good success there, and we're really proud of that.
We need to, how many different brands do you have, any names on your brand do you have now of different products?
Well, we have the men's line, which is Road Rage, and the women's line that is Raging Angel. And within those two lines, we have multiple designs. So we have several artists that work for us, and we contract them when we think of a design. Let's say on the men's line, we want to come up with a new a gambling theme. You know, we'll go to the appropriate artist and we'll ask for him to create something. You know, we're not artists ourselves, but we have vision about what we want to put on our garments. And so we'll get the appropriate artist to come up with some artwork that'll be what we want.
Right.
And so we have, you know, different, I don't know if this is answering your question, but we have different types of artwork, but it all says either Road Rage or Raging Angel.
Okay.
And, but now we are going to, what we're hoping to do, we're hoping to come up with some kids lines, and that's what we're working on right now. And my requirement for that is that, like we were saying before about working with kids that have cancer, my goal, this is like my ultimate dream, is to have, to actually be able to tie in either the artwork coming from kids with cancer, have proceeds going to the kids, you know, maybe the Lucille Packard Foundation, which is up here in Northern California, maybe tying in with, some other hospital, Children's Cancer Hospital, and then come up with two different, a boys and a girls line that we can then tie into kids with cancer. So those would be two distinct line names as well, in addition to Road Rage and Raging Angel.
So have you guys thought about adding some, like, jewelry or any of that sort of thing? Are you going to keep it strictly in the clothing line, or what are your future plans?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a part of any good apparel company is the accessories that they have.
Yeah.
We have definitely thought about adding jewelry to our line. Of course, some you know, whether it be like wristbands, necklaces, belts, hats,
purses
for women. We also want to add on more, I think, a little bit more trendier type jackets for men. You know, we really want to try to be as unique as we possibly can be with everything that we do. And as you know, when you're trying to develop something, you want to make sure that it's the right product to come out with.
Oh, yeah.
And so that development phase, for anybody who's thinking about trying to, wanting to come out with something, with a product, think about exactly the market that you're trying to hit. Who is the demographic? And what type of product it is that you want to introduce. And then take that concept and develop it. Come up with your ideas, whether it be drawings or the physical item itself. When you feel good, when you look at that product, as we do with all of our designs and other items, you look at that and you go, absolutely, that's what I'm talking about, that's a home run, then you know you're ready to take it out there to the market. You have to feel 100% confident and believe in what you have to sell to the outside world. Otherwise, it you won't. No. You have to believe in it.
Well, to be successful, you have to love what you're selling. And I think, you know, that one of the things that brings up an interesting point too. We've recently we have this great PR guy, Tom Brennan, and he led us to the X Games, which is, I guess, the VIP party is August 1st. And it's a target market that we haven't approached yet, but it's an amazing opportunity for us.
What's it called?
We're going to be providing the gift bags at this
VIP party. Yeah, I talked to him about that. That's a great idea, gift bags.
It's a fabulous, but it's a market that, you know, we're starting to talk about now, tapping into this market, and that's a younger crowd. You know, it's like, you know, Rick and I we're middle-aged. You know, let's face it, we're in our 40s. Well, most of us are in our 40s. And while we have friends and such in the 20s, we don't know what they wear. We don't know what they like. So we have to do a lot of research. We're going to come out with some board shorts, like surfing shorts in the next couple weeks. And we've got, you know, and those kinds of designs, because it's not something that we're directly related to. That takes a little bit more time, a little bit more research. You know, we really have to, we can't just rely on ourselves and our immediate associates or friends to give us feedback. We have to really reach out and talk to people who are in the industry. And so it's just interesting coming up with things that aren't necessarily things that you live and eat and breathe every day.
Well, one of the things, being that I have a bit of a collection of cars and bikes, one of the biggest problems I ever had was losing keys or getting them all mixed up. So what I did is I put on the wall, I put a little thing, you know, a little place with a little screw where, for all the keys. And I went out and got special keychains. And I had to search eBay and the Internet to find all of the keychains that I wanted. I would think, you know, in your business, that a really good keychain reflecting different brands of motorcycles, I don't know I know, like, for example, I wanted to do Ferrari bar stools, okay, because I have Corvette, and you can buy Corvette bar stools.
Right.
But when you go to buy a Ferrari bar stool, you can't find them. And so I talked to a bar stool manufacturing company down here in not too far away, and they said, we'd love to make these things. They'd make them pretty inexpensively, but I couldn't get... Getting Ferrari to cooperate to put, you know, their logo on the bar stool became a problem. So the solution was to put something similar as to the Ferrari logo, and then I could manufacture the bar stool.
Right.
This is big business. I mean, it's just that a bar stool with Ferrari on it is big business, but they're so big. So I don't know, maybe get keychains. I don't know if you're already working. Have you worked with Harley Davidson Corporate at all, or like Willie G, or
no.
Any of those guys? You ever run into them out in the field, or?
No, actually, basically when you're working with if someone was to work with Harley Davidson Corporate, you would become a licensee. And
exactly, that's what I was trying to get with Ferrari, was a license for that.
Right, was the license to various products that Harley Davidson, or in your case Ferrari, would have.
Right.
Where we're different in the sense that everything we do today and in the future will bear the name of our trademark brands.
Okay, so then maybe you should just make keychains with your name on it then.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Road Rage keychains.
That's exactly right. And the beauty part of it is that you can take that name and you can move it anywhere that has to do with automotive, whether it's motorcycles, whether it's dirt bike, whether it's street bike, whether it's cars, race cars, whatever. It applies to all of it.
Yeah, and our women's line, Raging Angel, certainly is not limited to the motorcycle industry either. We've actually been started selling to some high-end boutiques.
Yeah, I would think so. With the name, you know, Raging Angels is hot. I think that's a very good hot deal, brand, you know. That's amazing.
Well, we've been, again, you know, it's a big market. It's a tough market. And so you have to have something unique in order to break into it. I got to tell you, it's just weird that a guy, you know, a 50-year-old guy who, you know, used to jump on his Harley Davidson and was the weekend warrior with his buddies, wanting to, you know, open up a motorcycle shop and have all these kinds of products. Here I am with the love of my life, and we're selling apparel with our own brand names. I mean,
and he's picking out tank tops for women, you know, and he's helping in the process of, you know, what colors look best with what designs. It's kind of it's funny, but he's got good taste.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to mistake me for anything other than that tough Harley guy, but I'm not.
Have you got the beard? Do you have that Willie G look or what?
Goatee. I have the short hair. I can't seem to come away from that corporate haircut.
Yeah, no, that's me. I have long hair for a number of years. It was clear down to my waist at one point. Now my hair is like an inch long.
Yeah, and
it doesn't dry out after the shower. It's wet all day long, you know.
At least by riding a Harley Davidson, there are certain prerequisites that you have to have.
Right.
And one of them is that unless you're, you know, a good-looking guy out there, you got to have facial hair.
Yeah.
So I have the facial hair.
Okay, so you got a beard.
I have a goatee.
Okay, a goatee. I got it.
And,
that only counts for him. I don't have to have facial hair.
So are you your own model for the stuff? You guys model your own clothes? Do you hire models or what?
We hire models, for sure. Yeah, we want to sell the stuff. We don't want people looking at us in it. We actually hire models. That's a huge part of the business. As I'm sure you're aware, these shows that we go to, having, you know, really beautiful models is just, it's all part of the whole booth action, you know, in fact, this last show that we went to in L.A. at the Queen Mary, we had two beautiful, beautiful girls. And you know, it's a shame that it has to be that way, but the more beautiful they are, the more pictures are taken, the more your garments are seen. You know, because of us hiring models, we've gotten into some magazines. They've taken pictures of our models and put them in magazines for us. And
that's how Victoria's Secret started out. They didn't start out.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I've got clients using our products that are models and actors and actresses. Quite a bunch of them actually use the Pyridine stuff.
You can actually go to our website, www.roadragemotorcycles.com.
Right.
Have a gallery. Go to the events, and then you will see the past events. Click there, and we have a complete gallery of the previous shows that we've done, and you will see some absolutely beautiful girls that we've used in the past.
Do you have the new ones up for Ellie?
I'll be putting up the new pictures of this past event, this past weekend, within the next 24 hours. So you'll be able to see that event as well. And it is, you know, if you really enjoy beautiful motorcycles, and I mean art.
Yeah. Now, art is a part of the industry, and it's part of, it's a missing part in the American society. You go to France or somewhere, there's a lot more going on in art and culture than there is around here.
Sure.
Southern California, I can't find any culture other than Laguna, art festival that we have down here,
right.
The Pageant of the Masters. I go to New York City, and I'm enraptured in art and beauty and museums and the Guggenheim, motorcycle museum. All
that's magnificent.
Yeah.
It really is. And
yeah.
When you go to some of these shows, and I'm not going to say all of them, but certainly some, you will see some of the most incredible pieces of motorcycle art on this planet. People put their lifeblood into developing the concepts and building the bikes. Some of these motorcycles, believe it or not, when you talk about value, at least the value to the builder with his time, can range in $200,000.
Oh, easily, yeah. Some of Jesse James' stuff. I got a friend of mine that's name is Pete Papilla. He used to work for George Barrett. And he's the guy that does those flames and those women and those fabulous ghosts and stuff on gas tanks and all, and he paints for everybody. And I've known Pete for like 30 years. At one point, he dropped out. I went over to his place. He's at a ranch over in Selmar years ago, back in the 80s. And he had a stack of magazines all the way to the ceiling. And his bikes were on the front cover of every single magazine.
Well, we have not far from where we live, probably a 45-minute drive, is the absolute grandfather of the motorcycle world, Arlen Ness.
Yeah, Arlen, I know his stuff. I got his billet parts all over my Harley. Yeah.
And, these are the kinds of individuals that...
They set the bar.
And these are the kinds of individuals that we see and meet through our work. And for a motorcycle guy, just imagine someone in the race car industry.
Right.
Who decided to build some sort of business in the race car industry. When they went to work, they met... Mario Andretti.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the kind of thing that we work in and live in, and it is just absolutely the biggest thrill. We see some of the biggest names in the motorcycle industry when we go to these shows, and we have the opportunity. We're just little, we're little nothing guys to these people.
So give yourself 15 years and see what you are.
Well,
from your lips to God's ears.
I'm hoping it's 15 years they're going to be walking up to us and introducing themselves.
Yeah, there you go. That's the right attitude. I got a co-host that's on my show. His name is Steve Barrett. He's now a world-famous remote healer. He and I both, in the old days, we're both the same age. We're both 64, And in our younger days, we were drag racers. I have two world championships in, super stock, which became funny car from the mid-60s.
Wow.
And he does, too, from racing Triumph cars. Two world championships. And now look what we're doing. You never think that old drag racers who used to be greasy all the time end up, being in the healing industry and the arts industry. And I know for a fact that some of the guys I've met in the bike industry and the car industry, a lot of these guys are very spiritual. I know Arlen Ness seems to be pretty far out there. He's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm sure his philosophies, I don't know him, but I'm sure they're pretty nice, you know, they're pretty good.
Well, I think that for any, if you have a passion for anything, you have to be spiritual.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we could not do what we do with the kind of fortitude that we have if we didn't believe that there was a higher power, however you want to formulate that. That someone up there, and you know, we like to see it as you know, our mothers who are looking down on us and giving us that strength to just keep moving forward. And I think that you have to have that spirituality. You have to believe in something more than just yourself.
Exactly.
And a lot of people sometimes they don't believe there's anything else out there. Well, this is where hope comes from. This is where love comes from. This is where all of that, you know, the things that define us come from, is that spirituality. That's where it grows.
Yeah, you know, there's in one of the belief systems which I've always supported, there's these four angels. There's faith, hope, charity, and love. And I think I've met a couple of those angels in you know, in human form in my life. Faith, hope, charity, and love. And that really, you know, and that's the angel line. You might even want to name a shirt. Make yourself a...
There you go.
Angel.
Actually, that's pretty good.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, faith, hope, charity, and love. And one of them was Angel Faith. And that was a sister that I had that died when she was 9 years old. And she came back in another form. And I knew it was her.
Wow.
And she gave me great faith because I would see it in my meditations. I would see her. And you know, whenever I was down and feeling sorry for myself, I used to say, well, look, my 9-year-old sister died, got kicked in the head by a horse. What am I complaining about? She had 9 years on this planet, and I'm still here.
Right.
You know, and then speaking of that, one of my listeners out there has just said, I'm showing the road rage motorcycle website to my spirit guide, and he says he's interested to know about it too. We're getting a cool little response here, which is really great, you know, because it just shows you it crosses all the borders. It just crosses all the lines.
You know,
yeah, it does. And I'll tell you what, in spirituality, motorcycles have been a big part of my life. I think that's been, you know, rebuilding one. I get to restore them occasionally myself. That's a source of sanity for me. You have to break away from even your own business sometimes is something that's alien to it. So, you know, my collections, things I collect are alien to my business because my business is New Age and healing.
And that's apparent to us. You know, every time we do one of these shows, and we do probably 8 to 10 a year,
yeah,
where we go to these large, you know, areas, you could be anywhere from 5 to 105,000 people show up. And it's really apparent how much we are all connected because, you know, we talk to hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people at these shows, and everybody has a passion, and you find some common ground with everyone you speak with.
I know, isn't that fabulous?
It's an amazing thing, it really is, and you can tell that they're spiritual people because there's just so much that we derive from these conversations. We enjoy that part of it so much. The clothing is almost secondary because we get to connect with so many different types of people and hear so many different stories and be touched by so many different lives. You know, we come home with what we feel is like, you know, hundreds of new friends, you know. And we get to see some of the same people. We see it more than one show. People come up to us and we've seen them at another show or they remember. Or, you know, what's really cool for us is when somebody walks into our booth wearing something that they, you know, they got from us at a different show. It's like, yeah, I don't know. You connect with these people and it's an amazing thing. It just is such a good feeling, and it makes you realize that what you're doing is right. It's the right thing for us.
Yeah, when are you guys going to do some Southern Cal shows anyway? Again?
Well, we just got done with the one in Los Angeles. We're going to...
Love Run.
The Love Run is... Yeah. You know, Jay Leno gets involved with that every year.
Where is that at? I've ran into him at some car shows once in a while. I know Dave Letterman a little bit, but I don't know Jay Leno.
Now, either do we.
Yeah, the Love Run is originally, well, it still is.
I remember that. Yeah, it starts out in Burbank or somewhere.
It's in Glendale.
Glendale, yeah.
And
it's that Love Run.
Historically, it's been a one-day charity event.
Yeah, when does it start?
November, I want to say November 19th, but don't hold me to that date.
Yeah.
But it is certainly in November. Now, what they've done is they've extended it. They moved it from Castaic Lake, which was about a half hour north
towards
Glendale.
Right.
And now they've moved it over to Pomona.
Okay. Probably the fairgrounds.
Yes, that's correct. To the fairgrounds. And now I believe it's a 2.5-day event.
Wow.
So that means we get to go now.
So when you guys go out on that, I read about that, and every time I want to go on, I forget about it because I get sidetracked.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So what do you guys do? You ride on us, and you go somewhere, and you stay all night, and you ride some more kind of thing, or what?
You know, actually, no. The way that they're going to set this up is that I believe on the Friday afternoon and the Saturday, I believe, is it's going to be open. All 3 days we're going to be open to the public, so that means that you can go to the events. There's going to be booths there. There's going to be music. There's going to be other types of things that they're going to be doing. It's either Saturday. You need to take a look at the schedule, but either Saturday morning or Sunday morning.
That's when they take the ride.
Exactly. They take the ride from Glendale, downtown Glendale.
Right.
To the actual event, and they've had people such as Jay Leno, Peter Fonda, and a couple other notables, movie stars, you know, since it is Hollywood.
Right.
Join in on the event, and it's, you know, I think historically it's been like 20, 25,000 people that ride, parade, to
a lot of people. So you guys call me up and we'll go. I'll meet you up there.
That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody that's in the Southern California area, you know, that would be a really great show to go to because it really brings all aspects of a typical biker show. But it's just it's a great celebration, and since they are extending it this year, it's going to be very special because it's not just a one-day event anymore. So that's going to be really, really cool. And we'll be there. We'll have a booth there. So if anybody stops by, we'll be there. We'd love to have people come by and say hello. For those people that are in Northern California, next weekend, you know, we'll be at the San Jose Grand Prix. And we're actually we're participating in a fashion show at the Grand Prix, which seems a little bit kind of an odd combination, but it's going to work. So we'll have our stuff on display at the Grand Prix as well. And we just, you know, we love it when people come and visit and say hello, and we just love meeting new people. And then we also have a show in Reno, and
that is September, September 24th, either 19th, I think it's the 19th through the 24th, something like that. And that is downtown Reno. That is called Street Vibrations. That's a party and a half. If you want to go and have a good time, that's the place to go. It's going to be crazy. A lot of great stuff going on. And all bikers welcome, and anybody's welcome to these events. I mean, the one thing that we want to make sure everybody understands is that even though these may be Harley Davidson theme type events or festivals, that doesn't mean that it only pertains to those individuals. We want everyone to share in the excitement and the fun that we get out of this.
It's a great people.
Oh, yeah. No, I've met some great... I've rode with the Hell's Angels before and the Satan Slaves. And to be honest with you, I used to wear my pyramid on my head because we didn't have to wear a crash helmet in those days. And I found that most of them to be a lot more spiritual than the average person. These guys and girls were great spiritual people.
Oh, yeah.
There were always some renegades, but I never seemed to gravitate towards them. I thought they were really high people, you know?
Yeah, they're amazing. You know, you've got... Harley-Davidson riders who are children's advocates now. You get writing for all sorts of causes, and you're absolutely right. It's such an amazingly spiritual group.
Well, Malcolm Forbes was a huge motorcycle freak.
Oh, absolutely he was.
Yeah, he was big. He was
no question about it. He loved the motorcycle.
Yeah, he would do that more than his empire if he had a chance.
Yeah.
Well, it really represents freedom. I mean, when you think about it, you know, being on a motorcycle and just being out and having the wind in your hair. I know it sounds cliche.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, it's such an amazing feeling just being out on the bike.
All right. Well, we're running out of time now, and so I didn't quite. Rick, how do you say your last name anyway?
My last name is pronounced Grassadonia. Think of Macedonia.
Okay, I got it.
And put a GR in front of it.
Okay.
So Grassadonia.
So once again, give them your website, and then we got to sign off.
The website is www.roadragemotorcycles.com.
All right, and you've been listening to... Thanks, by the way, for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Rick and Lisa, and you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. I'm going to go over to another network, even though this is my home. Join me in a little while at www.gcn, that's George Charlie Nancy Live.com, for the Secret Truth show. We'll look forward to having everybody on again soon, and I'm starting up. I gotta go.
Hey, everybody.